Welcome back to New Rockstars. What If Episode 8 showed us a universe where Ultron won? And just like when you give a mouse a cookie, UltraVision decided that one universe just wasn't going to be enough. I mean, just one? Seriously? That's just an appetizer. So he brings the beat down to Uatu and berates him for just sitting back and watching as timelines just go awry. Like, does this mean UltraVision was right? Do we have like an UltraVision Killmonger situation? Not really. He's a terrible person. This is Rogue Theory, the show where we pitch the wildest theories for the nerdy titles that we love. My name is MT, and going rogue with me today and appearing in her own final form is Jessica Clemens. What's going on, Jess?
Hey, can't wait to be split in half like Thanos by UltraVision.
Oh my God. He can take it. He can get it.
He's hot as hell, and I love a villain.
You do love a villain. And hidden away in her own Siberian bunker, it's prolific Twitch streamer, Angelica Trey. What's going on, Angelica?
Hey, yeah, it's me out here in very secretive Russia, right? Their secrets are the pastime.
Like, I've always meant to tell you that your background looks exactly like a Hydra base. So, like, this is...
I designed it for, so...
And finally, we booted up our own evil artificial intelligence. It's off-screen producer, Brandon, my brother. What's going on, Brandon?
Oh, beep, beep, boop, boop. Destroy all humans. Let's do this.
Ready to comply.
Ready to comply.
This episode of What If found Uatu suddenly on the defensive against a powerful, fully stoned UltraVision. Not stoned that way, kids. I mean, it's the less fun stoned. Determined to wipe out all of the multiverses. With only one episode left in the series, I have to ask all of you, how the hell is this thing going to end? Like, what are your final predictions for the series? Like, what is Uatu the Watcher's plan, and how will the What If series set up the next events in the movies? And, like, what will we explore in the second season of the series, too?
Okay, no, I'm just... So, what I'm trying to do is tie in Natasha still with Zola. And so what I think is going to happen moving forward, I don't know if this is going to be a season two arc or if this will be the last episode, because this show has turned from episodic into serial now, right? Like, it's all connecting, which is awesome.
Right.
But I think that what's going to happen is, so Ultron has a taste of all of this power now, and I think Ultron is going to go around to all these different universes. He's going to start gobbling them up, turns into Galactus, because we've had a couple like hungry quotes. And okay. Yeah, he kind of resembled Galactus for a second there. So he's right. Basically going to become Galactus. Mm. And then with the help of Uatu, Strange Supreme is going to be guided into fighting this Galactus Ultron. And what's going to end up happening is somehow Natasha's going to come in, and maybe like Zolabot is going to figure out how to connect somehow between these universes, or maybe they trap him in a particular universe with them, and going to disseminate the virus, and the multiverse will be saved.
Interesting. Ooh. So an Ultron Galactus. Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my long-winded, just windy theory there.
That is certainly rogue. I like the idea of the Ultron Galactus because, like you said, we did have that visual in the episode that was 100% a Galactus Easter egg. Like, I cannot think of anything more Galactus-y than biting an entire galaxy. Like, that's a lot of galaxies.
That scene, I was like, he's eating a planet universe. I was like, I don't know what's going on here.
I imagine all the MCU fans were just going, wait a minute, when they saw that.
I was freaking the fuck out. It was quite intense.
I really liked during their fight, they put in the like kind of Kirby crackle, the little dots in the laser.
Oh my
beams.
God! Yeah, in the blast. Yeah, I was like, yes, that is the cosmic energy of the Marvel comics.
Yeah, Galactus and the Watcher. They all came around from Jack Kirby, and it was like cool to see that like homage to him. I think that what we're heading to, I think Angelica's totally right. Like, we're getting together this super squad of elements from like each little multiverse. We're obviously going to see like Captain Carter again. Right. She's got to come back. This tentacle monster, that's got to play a role somehow. Right. Maybe that is, if it's Shuma-Gorath, right, maybe it's capable of stopping this UltraVision with all the stones. Right. Maybe they need to bring that thing in, or maybe Strange Supreme, because he absorbed part of those tentacles becomes the monster himself and like sacrifices himself that way to destroy Ultravision. But there's also this like rumor out there that Captain Carter's going to show up in like the Multiverse of Madness. So I think this is, I think this series might somehow tie into like the Multiverse of Madness, the next Doctor Strange film somehow. Like some of these characters could transition over into that movie, transition into live action in some sort of strange way. I don't know, but I do love this idea of Uatu going to each of the kind of timelines we've seen and picking the last ones. Because you have like Party Thor will be great to bring in because it seems like the Thors and all the other multiverses
are you
are
sure
dead.
About that?
I mean, I think he's like he's ready to do it. You know, he learned a lesson in his
he learned episode. A lesson.
He literally, well, he taught a lesson.
He taught a lesson point. To Captain Marvel, but then he learned a
and
lesson.
And he fixed the Leaning Tower of Pisa. What
well, we're
kid.
Also, do we know where he is after Ultravision showed up?
Well, that's a great question, Jessica.
Because he also could not.
I was wondering that, too, because this episode kind of started in a different spot. And it was like Uatu. What happened to the Uatu who saw and was like, wait, what? And then he kind of jumps over and he's like, I'm going to tell you another story now. It's like, wait, what about what was happening over there? You saw it coming. That's a good point, Jessica. I don't know what if Thor knows what's up or what.
Well, I mean, simple solution to that. He could have just been beamed up like in the middle of when that happened, and then instead of Ultravision didn't have all the stones, then he was just, I'm here to attack. So he probably was like, I'm not gonna mind whatever that was, and I'm gonna continue on murdering. Boy, I sure do love killing. He was on a mission, so
here I go killing again.
Yeah, here I go killing again.
So Brandon, you're saying that Uatu is gonna cherry pick each of the heroes?
Yeah, I think so. Like even you said, like that Natasha we saw in this last episode, she survives with the Zola bot. And now she has a shield too. She's got the Red Guardian shield. And it seemed like all the other Natashas that we've seen have died. So I think enough of each hero has been killed off in different universes that you could kind of put together a team. But there's still Ego out there, too, who has his Peter Quill battery. He might show up because he got his face blown off in one of these timelines. So he's like, wait, what the f*** is going on?
There's so many different players that were introduced in this series that could just all just come to a head in this final episode. Like, so do you guys like see like another like sort of Infinity War type scenario, but like a multi-Infinity War in this episode?
I'm imagining all of this right now. It's absolute chaos in my head. I'm imagining like zombies clashing with the, you know, all the Ultron
bots.
Yeah. Bots, yeah. To fight them. It's, like, it's really chaotic in my mind right now, but I'm kind of digging it. So yeah, I could see that. What a chaotic theory.
Do you think that, like, so we saw that zombies Thanos had, like, a full Infinity Gauntlet or was about to make one because the last stone was coming to him. Is his use of the Infinity Stones as strong as, like, Ultravision's? Like, are all Infinity Stones equal when they're brought into, like, this multiverse space? That kind of looked like, it reminded me of, like, the library scene, Interstellar, you know, when Matthew McConaughey is just kind of, like, floating in the weird, like, space-time library.
I've never seen that movie.
Are you asking if Infinity Stones cross different universes than their original universe? Or are you asking?
Yeah, kind of, because Ultravision was able to take his stones out of his universe and into this, like, you know, into any other timeline or multiverse and fight with them. So, and we know Zombie Thanos has like a full set of stones too. Are his just as powerful as like Ultravision's if they met in like a weird space outside of their own timelines?
I feel like it does matter who is in control of the Infinity Stones in order to use it. And the way that Ultron. So the way that actual Ultron destroyed Thanos was so easy and quick that I think it's like it's apparent
that brutal.
That power that he holds is stronger than what Thanos could have with the stones, especially because like we're working with like a mechanical sentient being that has one purpose versus Thanos who does have one purpose, but is still the closer to human than what Ultron is.
He's just trying to get to retirement. That's
all. He's like, I just want to rest
and retire.
Cause he's still like, he can still, So I think Ultron using those Infinity Stones is like tenfold where Thanos's wouldn't be. I don't think it's going to be a war only because I don't think the zombies don't really have, if they fought Ultron's army, they would also want to eat the current Avengers that we're working with as well. So it's like, if the zombies did show up, they would be very counterproductive. But
chaos.
It would be too much. It would be so much. So, and then we also don't know in that timeline if they did or were able to reverse everything that happened. Not reverse, but cure those that were infected. So just like how with Thor, we don't know if Thor died fighting Ultron before he got the stones. And just like with the zombies, we don't know if they actually were able to succeed in getting rid of them and finding a cure. It won't be a giant war, but it will be what Brandon said, them cherry picking each hero from each timeline to come back, and they're going to create their own version of the Avengers. And I think we are definitely getting that because we saw that little piece with Black Widow wearing the, what I think I saw in the teaser, her red Guardian shield. So I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, she is going to be cherry picked into the Avengers with her dad's shield. Cute. Cute.
We love to see it. Okay. What if season two, they bring in Keanu and John Connor, and they fight all of the Ultron robots.
Which is Ultron. It's,
so it's Neo and John Connor. Yeah, and they're all fighting the bots.
Beautiful. It's every famous character that fought robots in any piece of literature or film shows
does
up.
That count for, like, the Terminator?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Captain Marvel doing dirty on the Terminator like that.
Right?
Rude.
That's rude.
She's real heavy on the 90s references. I was wondering what happened to the Angelica, you mentioned like the zombie Scarlet Witch. What happened to the Scarlet Witch in this like Ultra Vision timeline where
I don't
wins?
Think she was
did
ever
she ever
found.
Go good?
I don't think she was. I thought she wasn't maybe strong enough.
Maybe wasn't. Yet. Do you think Ultron like killed her off like immediately? Because he used them, you know, in the right, film to like Ultron. Get what he needed. We think maybe he used him here and then just like wiped him out himself. Like, I don't need you guys.
Yeah, I know the series of events is it can vary between these universes. So obviously, you know, just we're going off of some of the parallel timelines we've seen. But Scarlet Witch hasn't fully come into her own yet, you know, like that WandaVision finale just yet, where she was actually truly coming into her powers. So I think that she probably just got wiped out. I don't think she was strong enough yet. You know, I still have my theories too, just with the episode before last with Thor and how him and Captain Marvel were struggling so much. I feel like Thor would have been wiped out by Ultron as well. So I don't know, or Ultra Vision, right?
Well, yeah, he destroyed Asgard, so Thor was probably on Asgard when he blew
Well, I think
it
we
up.
Saw when he was like right before he launched the nukes. I think we saw like Mjolnir like sitting there on the ground, and there was like a body slumped over like right before Tony died.
Oh yeah,
with all those guys.
Oh, because they were
I think
fighting.
He like killed
lost.
Him there. Maybe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Party Thor's still alive, baby, and he's ready to fight.
Oh,
I know
yeah,
it.
He's
I believe in
not
Party
gonna
Thor.
Be helpful.
Well, how did Party? No, did Party Thor survive? Because he was really struggling with Captain Marvel.
Right.
Well, we have seen him in promo material with, I believe, Doctor Strange. So I think that he does survive.
Well, we see the cut of him talking to what we think is Doctor Strange. I hate Marvel teasers for this. I'm like, oh no, they're definitely talking. You have to see both their bodies in the same damn shot. But I do think it's the scene where he's like, zombies, wild. We still haven't seen that part.
These are all amazing theories. So for that, everyone gets 5,000 points each.
Oh, baby.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
Well, that is it for our first topic of the video. And we do have some theories about how this Thanos got all of this bling. But first, by the time you're watching this, there's probably a brand new Venom-inspired shirt available from our merch partners at Epic Hero. Like most of their stuff, there will be a limited supply, so you should grab one really quickly. And you can still check out the Shang-Chi, What If, and Loki-inspired designs available at newrockstarsmerch.com. It's a great way to support our channel and let your inner nerddom shine through. But before we continue, we do want to thank our friends at Upstart for sponsoring this video. If you are carrying a credit card balance month after month, it can feel like a never-ending cycle of debt, like physically being stuck on a Peloton bike forever. So Upstart is a fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. So whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500 million people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment. Upstart knows that you're more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Unlike other lenders, Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. And you can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. So find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/rogue. That's upstart.com/rogue. And don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. So go to upstart.com/rogue. But guys, there's nothing sexier than confidence, and Blue Chew can help give you confidence where it counts, you know, down there. Blue Chew. Stop, empty. Okay. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. And you can take them anytime, day or night. Just take them responsibly, please. So you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. You lucky duck. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days, so you don't have to wait. And the best part, it's all done online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And BlueChew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. So if you can benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ROGUE at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ROGUE, to receive your first month for free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this video. All right, gang, this episode also once again showed us the importance of the Infinity Stones, no matter what universe that we are in. And we are all very familiar with the process of retrieving the stones. But that leads us to our second topic of today. How did Thanos get the Soul Stone? Because in our universe, Thanos had to sacrifice Gamora to get the stone on Vormir. But in this episode, we saw a Thanos with the Soul Stone and Gamora still alive and fighting with the Sovereign. So, how did Thanos in this universe get the Soul Stone, and what did he have to sacrifice?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Nebula, I just want to yell it out before Brandon takes it.
The elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room. I think.
The only daughter left, Nebula.
The only daughter he had. I think Nebula, but for a rogue theory, I don't think he ever kidnapped Gamora in this universe. I think he only had Nebula. I think Gamora still would have been Gamora without her father. I think she still would have saw what was happening in the world and been like, I want to make a difference because this woman has determination and she wants to change the world somehow. So I think she still would have been our crime fighting, like fisticuff bounty hunter that she like, that we see her doing with her team still. I think they would have, and like, she would have eventually been picked up, or it would have been a situation where like she captured them and then they were like, we can go fight these things together. And she would have done it as well. And she would have been like, we need to defeat this guy Thanos who's destroying all the planets. I think this world, we don't have a Gamora related to Thanos. I think we have just Nebula, and he sacrificed his only daughter, the one and only Nebula. Boom.
What if he did he still wipe out half of Gamora's planet?
That would be, I was like, I didn't want him to in this theory because it was sad, but I mean, that's probably what the MCU would do. They would still have her be like the one child that was hidden and he killed her family and have a Drax storyline of like, killed my family and I have to go fight him. So yeah.
Or maybe he just stole like a different little girl named Rebecca or something, and he took Rebecca.
What if Nebula? What if in this universe Nebula and Gamora were sisters, and he stole Nebula, and Gamora was sad. Like this, and Gamora was like, "I need my sister back." That's how I feel like she would sound.
Revenge story.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways this can go when you have multiple universes, limitless. Nebula could be a chicken in one. Don't know.
Wait, so time out. Yeah. So you think that Thanos sacrificed Nebula, but in the movies, it doesn't seem like Thanos and Nebula really got along. It doesn't seem like Nebula.
No.
Like, Thanos didn't even like Nebula.
100%, but because he had Gamora. But in this universe, Nebula is his only one. And he still treats her like a pile of crap. But you know how, like, he made it. I don't know if this comes across as this to anybody else, maybe, but, and it's not good. It's not good how I'm going to say this. It wasn't tough love that he gave Nebula, but it was like, you need to be the best. Like, my children need to be the best. So I still think he would treat Nebula in that sense where she, just like how Gamora was like, you don't love me. There's no one you love. Who are you going to throw over this cliff? I think the same with Nebula. Nebula would be like, you don't love me. You took out my eye. And he's just like, I did it for, like, for you to be strong. Because his reasoning and justification is so misaligned that I think he thinks he's doing good, obviously, when he's clearly not. So in this universe, he does love Nebula.
So it's like a love from like an abuser's.
Yeah.
It's genuine love, but like it's not a good.
It's kind not. Of love. It's clearly it's not love, but to him it is. To him it
it's
is.
It's not love.
Yeah. It's not love.
Well, and he only replaced Nebula's parts because she was getting beat by Gamora. Yeah. And if there's not another sister, or if it's just Nebula, there's no one to beat her. So to beat her in combat or whatever. So then Thanos theoretically maybe isn't even like piecemealing around. Maybe she's still 100% whole.
I think that Thanos then sacrificed like mama, like grandma or something. Meemaw. There we go. Is that it? Meemaw? Thanos sacrificed Meemaw.
You can see him pulling up the wheelchair onto the cliff. Like, all right, Meemaw.
She's where like, are we why are we going to do this?
It's kind of cold, Thanos.
This isn't the surplus store.
Don't even worry about it. Meemaw is just crying
his eyes out. You said we were going to the bank.
Meemaw's going over.
She's got her church hat on. She's all ready for church.
It's cold like Bank of America, but it doesn't look like Bank of America.
Thanos, who's this floating dark man over here?
Thanos, he doesn't have a nose.
He has no nose.
Are you the manager?
I'd like to speak to you for a second. Immediately, zoom.
Mima, daughter of Agnes.
So, that's what I think happened. I think Thanos just sacrificed Mima.
I mean, that's true. He could have other family that he cares about. I do like that.
I've got
he loves his Mima.
I've got two rogue theories on this one.
One,
see him show up on Earth alone. Where's the Black Order? I think he tossed one of them.
You think each of them over one by one.
Until he got to the one he liked the most.
He said, go me.
He was like, oh, wow, I didn't love blah, that guy.
One,
whoops.
Yeah, the one he liked the most that he saved for last was Corvus Glaive.
Yes.
Who he was in love with. And we know that this Proxima and Corvus had a thing, but that was just a cover-up for Thanos and Corvus Glaive's true love that they had for each other. He was the last one he tossed over the cliff. That's one of my theories. My other theory is, in this timeline, on Vormir, it's not Red Skull. It's the Lady Death. And he showed up there with all the other stones already, except for the Mind Stone, obviously. So he shows up there with four stones, and she's impressed. Right. She's impressed by the jewelry. Oh. He woos her, he wines her, he dines her, and then he gets that soul stone without sacrificing anything.
69's death? Are you kidding me, Brandon?
That's what I think would happen here. Because we all, admit it, when you were in the theater and you saw Infinity War for the first time and you saw the like floating black stuff, you thought, oh, they're going to have the Lady Death. Here she is. We're going to see her. And then it was Red Skull. And you're like, well, that's just as good. I like that. But I think in this weird What If episode, it wasn't Red Skull there. It was the Lady Death. And he schmoozed her. Ooh. You know what I mean? He's got the charm. He turned the charm on.
No, these were all amazing theories. But I think I want to give 1,000 points each to the ladies, but 2,000 points to Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
But now it is time for my favorite part of the show, the Rogue Question. And today's Rogue question is, we finally have a release date for Disney Plus's Book of Boba Fett, and the new series will be coming to the streaming platform on December 29th. So please, pitch me your roguiest theories on what the show will be even about, because we don't really know at this point.
I've got a very rogue theory for you on what the Book of Boba Fett is going to be about, okay? This is, you know, I think Disney Plus is ready to make a show that's a little more lighthearted, a little more of a sitcom, a situational comedy, if you will. In the Book of Boba Fett, okay? In this one, uh-huh. Boba Fett's moved into Jabba's abandoned palace. He's taking it over, and he's turning it into a bed and breakfast, okay? And everyone from around the galaxy is going to finally be coming to Tatooine and have a nice place to stay. So the Book of Boba Fett, it's like a guest book. People show up. They write their names in. So each week will be like a guest, you know, a new special guest star is going to come stay at Jabba's Palace in on Tatooine. It's going to be like the Love Boat, and it's going to be a really fun adventure. We're going to have funny hijinks. There'll be some lasers, yes. There'll be some shooting and some lightsabers. But it's going to be about Boba Fett running a bed and breakfast on Tatooine.
I like that. Though, I would have given you extra points if you said Boba Tea. I feel like that would have been very fitting.
They'll have some Boba Tea. They'll definitely have some Boba Tea.
No, yeah, they don't.
SMH. The youth don't care about the Boba.
I would love to see this be a very much a classic Western style. So think, you know, maybe something like A Fistful of Dollars for a Few Dollars More type style. Boba Fett's gonna come in a Tatooine, and is going to, you know, we're gonna have some of those nice like shots of him, like, you know, hands on weapon. We're gonna get like a "this town ain't big enough for the two of us" type situation with Jabba, and he's basically going to go after Jabba the Hutt and his like whole crime syndicate, and it's gonna get real zesty and real like Western-y. There's gonna be, there's gonna be like, I don't know, there's gotta be gravestones somewhere. I just love Westerns, so I'm really just laying it in here, but I would love to see that.
When we get to this part of Rogue Theory, Jessica always has a silly answer, but this is gonna be the first time where I'm dead ass serious. I think the Book of Boba will be, Book of Boba Tea, will be about just the history, culture, religion, what have you, of the Mandalorians, because I think after seeing the Mandalorian, one thing that we were really interested in were the other Mandalorians and how they, the entire time, were like, you can't show your face, but it's like, you live by that code. You're one of those Mandalorians. Right. We're the Mandalorians that don't live by that code. So I think there's different factions of the Mandalorians that we want to see more of. And I think that's what the Book of Boba will be about, is more so how, even if it's mainly circled around Boba Fett, how the other Mandalorians, what they believed in and what they see and how they see it. Because I think living by a code is good, but then also recognizing that that code is outdated is even better. So I think we'll see more Mandalorians and see their way of living and how different it can be. And some might just be genuinely bad people. But yeah, that's my
idea. So like, sort of like the Book of Mormon, but the Book of Mandalorian.
Boba Fett's like a cool new youth pastor who shows up and is like, hey, you know, it doesn't have to be like it's always been. You know, we can take our shoes off in church. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He turns that chair around. He's like Will Schuster,
the actor that played Will Schuster from Glee.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, these were all amazing theories. But I'm going to give 1,000 points to Brandon for his Boba bed and breakfast idea. It's very funny. I'm going to give 2,000 points to Angelica for her Western theory, because it just makes sense for Boba Fett to be a Western, because it's very much in line. But I'm going to give 3,000 points to Jess, because the Mandalorian series and the Mandalorians as a whole are very religious, and like, it's all, I do like the story of the culture of the Mandalorians, and I feel like they will dive into that in the series, and I do want them to. So, 3,000 points to Jess, which I believe makes Jess our winner, if I'm not mistaken.
It does.
Hey!
MT, I'll slip you a 5
Jess
later.
Wins. Thank you. We agreed on 10. What the hell is this? Oh, God. That wasn't our deal.
Zoom.
I feel like Lando. That is it for our episode of Rogue Theory. I want to thank Brandon, Angelica, and Jessica Clemens for joining us today. Thank you guys for joining me this episode. You can follow all of them on their socials, and please support them with everything that they're doing. Jessica and Angelica are amazing Twitch streamers, so please follow them. If you're not, I'm sure one day Brandon will stream as well.
I ordered the hot tub, and I will be on stream as soon as it arrives.
Oh my god! Oh,
yeah. All right, look, IRL stream, Brandon,
subbing hot tub right now. Oh god, yes. I opened a bunch of windows. Oh god.
Oh my god,
Kappa folks, Kappa. Here we go. I don't know the
Boggers.
And you can follow me at MassRetainment, and you can follow New Rockstars wherever we are on social media. And please hit up NewRockstarsMerch.com so you can get cool new nerd shirts so all your friends can respect you. All right. Thank you all for watching, and we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.